Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When a little boy returned from a birthday party, his mother asked him, "Did you thank Miss Johnson for the party?" He answered, "I was in line at the door when the boy in front of me thanked her, and she said, 'Don't mention it,' so I didn't." Though Thanksgiving is a national holiday and not part of the church year, it does serve the church as a yearly opportunity for us to count our blessings and recognize from whom they come, and to express our thanks in prayer and song. It's appropriate and helpful because even as Christians, we tend to take our enjoyment of abundance for granted and not mention it. So it should be obvious that we all need to learn the grace of receiving. But who needs to learn how to receive? From little on, we naturally expect to receive things. Birthdays, Christmas, Easter, Valentine's, Halloween. You might think we need to focus less on receiving and more on gracious giving. After all, the church encourages us to be good stewards and generous givers for the sake of the Lord's work. But there's a spiritual truth here. We won't learn to be gracious, God-pleasing givers until we first learn to be gracious, God-pleasing receivers. The grace of receiving focuses on and values the giver over the self and even the desired gift. Yet watch as little children demand a gift because they think they deserve it. There was a reported difficulty in finding men for department store Santas on account of the high incidence of children kicking Santa in the knee or in the shins for not complying with the requests made the previous year. But this attitude isn't only displayed by children. And watch adults who are reluctant to receive a gift because they view it with suspicion, not knowing what strings might be attached. These are two sides of receiving that fail to appreciate and to really thank the giver. For this reason, Paul urges that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made by all people, from the highest to the lowest, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, which is pleasing to the Lord. In the same way, Moses called the Israelites to remember the blessings that God poured out upon them from the time that he delivered them from Egypt to the day they were to receive the promised land. During that time, God was training, teaching, even disciplining them to graciously receive the gift of salvation and all its benefits. Yet the Israelites complained because they only wanted what they did not have. How often do we fail to recognize the good gifts from God, even his discipline, because they are not what we desire? Yet when we do recognize the good gift of salvation from God, our hearts are satisfied with his blessing, and we lack nothing. Even when God does give us the gift we desire, how often do we completely fail to recognize God as the giver? The lepers begged Jesus to show them mercy by healing their leprosy. If they were healed, they would not only regain their health, but they'd be restored to their family and their community. They would receive their lost lives back. But when Jesus healed them, only one of the 10 was found to return and give thanks to God. The others walked away without a second thought. How often do we view such gifts and blessings from God with ingratitude, and ignore the giver altogether? A woman called her pastor for a visit. "I have some important matters to discuss with you," she said. When he arrived, she answered the door and told him, "I want to tell you about all of my troubles." Her pastor settled down in a chair, pulled out his watch, and said, "I'll give you 30 minutes to talk about your troubles. But first, you must give me 15 minutes talking about your blessings." At first, the woman was taken by surprise. But then, after thinking it over, she proposed they forget about the troubles altogether, as she would need all 45 minutes to talk about the blessings she's received. Maybe we should spend more time being intentionally thankful by having Thanksgiving every week instead of only once a year. But we do already do that, don't we? Isn't one of the very reasons we gather together on the Lord's Day is to give Him thanks and praise for all His blessings? That's why we recount the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection over and over. So we will not receive it thoughtlessly, but will learn the life-giving grace of receiving His forgiveness and love, and all that goes with it. If that doesn't move us to express our gratitude in word and in life, what will? Graceful receiving blesses both the receiver and the giver. Moses tells his people, if they are careful to do what the Lord has commanded, and they remember all that God has done for them, they will lack nothing, and they will bless the Lord. But how do we bless God? To show Him favor, as it were. Paul says it pleases God when we give Him thanks and praise Him for all the gifts of body and soul, and for everything to support this body and life, and especially for His gift of salvation. After all, it is surely true in a human relationship how our spirits are fed by someone who has learned the grace of receiving and, as a result, knows how to say a sincere thank you. And when we return to give thanks to God, we become like that Samaritan who returned in thanksgiving, to whom Jesus responded, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So as you and I bless the Lord this Thanksgiving by expressing our thanks to Him, it is also a good time to think of others through whom God has blessed us and to whom we owe a debt of gratitude. It is even better to go out of our way to bless them by writing them notes, by giving them phone calls, or by even visiting them in person, to express to them a sincere thank you. For they truly are a gift of God. And as we do so, we will find the Lord continues to bless us as we grow in the grace of receiving. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.